Thank you for being here. Father God, thank you that you're here. If you weren't here, we'd be wasting our time. But we have your love letter. We have your word, the Bible. Forgive us when we take it for granted, when we neglect it, when we do not realize its authority, and the love that just pours through the whole salvation plan. It's Christmas, the incarnation, the moving forward after thousands of years. And we've lived almost, or a good 2,000 years since. And Father, there's still more to come because of your love. May we see your love. You know where we're coming from. You know who needs it, especially today? Some of us are hurting for various reasons. Some of us are running. Some of us are perhaps not even sure why we're here. Others love you, and they want to hear more of you. So teach us from your word, I pray. Give us understanding. And help me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of talking of, the songwriter put it, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And yes, it is to me. So thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Speak now, Holy Spirit. Speak. I ask it, pleading, in Jesus' name. Amen. A, B, C. I do know the rest of the alphabet, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. I can keep going. But ABCs are normally the basics, the beginning of lots of things, including our alphabet. You need to know your ABCs to be able to read, to write, subjects that we're losing out on. Hearing again, COVID did us in. COVID did us in educationally in America. We lost another year of schooling according to the tests and compared to nations around the world, especially in math. COVID did us in. But we're emphasizing too much the wrong things. ABCs. There's a reason for them. The gospel has been put that way. Do you know the gospel as ABC? It's very simple. A, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. C, confess with your mouth, and so forth. Simplified, yes, but it's right there for you, the ABCs. This morning we pick up our subject matter over the last month or two, or I've lost track of time. But our subject matter is applied Christianity. You recall, chapters 1, 2, and 3, I referred to it this morning. That's the doctrine, that's the teaching. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, why you need to get saved, how you can become a Christian, how can you have assurance as a Christian, and so forth. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. But then if one is truly a Christian, if one is born again, there has to be change in our life, and that's applied Christianity. And that's what we picked up in chapter 4. The term walk was used. Walk. Very simple. Unless you can't walk. One step in front of the next. ABCs, if you please. Just walk. It's your everyday living. You're walking in your house. You're walking in the church. You're living. You're living on the playground. You're living in the workforce. You're living in your home. How are you to live as a Christian? Walk. Yes, the ABCs. For the new walk, that's where we're going this morning. I've got three new ABCs for you. First of all, A, accept the challenge. God has a way of challenging us. God has a way of convicting us and showing, if we're willing to listen, if we want to learn, if we want to know Him better. So accept the challenge. Why should I accept the challenge? On the basis of the preceding, where we've been in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Change is the thrust. It has to be there. And so we saw applied Christianity, change. We've been taught, watch your tongue. Don't lie. Speak the truth. And we spent some time on that. And not only speaking the truth with our tongue, but it is to speak in such a way of the need of the moment that we can bring knowledge of what God would have, His grace, if you please. That's what will build up individuals. We looked at that. And then we saw, rather than to steal or to take, work. Work is not a sin. We work in a sinful world, so it can become very difficult at times. Labor, toil, sweat of your brow is what Adam and Eve were promised in the garden. And it continues to be that way. Whether you're working with your hands, whether you're working with your mind, it can wear us out. People are burning out all over. Pastors are burning out all over. Sadly, we don't need to burn out. No, we are to work. And then to give. The offering envelopes were mentioned as one form here this morning of giving. But we are to give to the Lord and His work. We are to give to the needs around us. We are to give to help others at times as well. We are to be giving. There's to be change in the way we look at things. It's not my stuff. It's God's stuff. And what do you want me to do with your stuff, God, that you bless me with to enjoy, but also to help others? So there was to be change. And then we started looking at the attitudes within. We looked at anger, wrath, rage. And we saw once again, in itself, it is not sin. Some of us need to learn to get angry at sin when we see what's going on. Or what the world is telling us now, that there is evil in the world. Imagine that. The Bible said right from the beginning, there's evil in the world. But get angry at it. And you recall our anger. Be angry, but don't sin. We get angry at the wrong things, and we respond in anger the sinfully wrong ways. Be angry, but don't sin. And then we looked at the inner parts of our being. You know, the part there of bitterness because someone did you wrong. And you haven't let it go. You haven't let it go. They may not even be aware of it. But it's tearing you apart and burning within. So many, even Christians, don't have the peace or the joy because we're still holding on to stuff on the inside. No, let it go. Malice was a general term for all evil. Again, the scriptures get very specific. Because working on our own lives on where we're at. And instead of that, be kind. Be tenderhearted. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive because if you're a Christian, you've been forgiven. And what you've done towards God is far greater than what anyone else has done towards you. I don't know that we believe that. God says it so. Remember who He is. Remember how perfect He is. Remember how loving He is. And yet we just cast Him off. But what they've done, no. Again, there needs to be change in our lives. We've seen that. On the basis of the proceeding where we've been, God's challenge goes forth. What did I just say? Try to remember. I said, God's challenge goes forth. God's authority. And we can wrestle with authority, can't we? But on the basis of what we've seen so far, go forward. Accept the challenge. Second, on the basis of a new position that we have. What's the basis? As children, verse 1 says. As children. Children? We may not like that title. You'll have to excuse me for a moment. That's why I don't use cough drops when I'm in choir, because I start to drool like a little one. But we're talking about babies and children, or old men maybe as well. But it starts to drool after a while. But children, I saw my father just now in my mind. My father could be foolish at times, like a little child. We all can be, more than we realize. Children. We look grown up. We try to act grown up. We're grown up in years. But too often we act very childish. No, if we are born again, we are born like the little guy this morning, as a baby, a new birth. The moment people tell me, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. When you tell me you've always been a Christian, you don't understand what it is to be born again. What you're telling me, perhaps, is that you grew up in church, your parents were Christians, you learned about it all your life, and sadly for some, we just assume that I'm a Christian too. But the Bible says it doesn't work that way. Again, Ephesians 1 and 2, as we move into 3 and so forth, reminds us, hostile, enemies towards God, sinful, we're all that way, as sinners. But you get born again. Jesus, I'm seeing more and more of my sin. I'm realizing I can't pay for it myself. Jesus, you died and took my punishment. Forgive me. I repent. I need to. I want to change. And that's the change we're talking about. But you start out as a baby. And then where to grow. And some of you are familiar with Peter as he shares in his letter about craving, desiring the milk of the word, like a newborn baby. And you mothers who are breastfeeding, you know, the little ones, they crave the milk. But as they get older, you want to wean them off it. 12-year-olds on a bottle of milk, not too good, unless there's a real problem with the child, physically, emotionally, every which way. No, Christians who have been Christians for many years and still need the milk of the word, and we're not growing, and something's wrong. No, we're children on the basis of our new position. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we are told again, as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Children of God. On the basis of that position, we are getting a challenge that God wants us to accept. As children dependent upon parents, the younger the child is, the more dependent that one needs to be. Can't feed itself, can't change itself, needs everything. Again, the job of parents is to train our kids so that they, while dependent on us growing up, will one day become independent and able to make wise decisions. Wise decisions. So many kids today, growing up, don't know how to keep, what was that thing called, a checkbook? Balance my expenses versus what I take in. So many today don't know how to do that. But to grow up and to learn how to make decisions in life and so forth, to become independent. When our kids reach a certain age, they should be able to take care of themselves and make wise decisions. And yet how many are moaning and groaning because I've got debts to pay that I took on, and our President Biden won't pay for all of my college debt that I took on knowingly and willingly, or whatnot. Again, to understand again, we are as children dependent, but we are to be growing. And as children, there are expectations and responsibilities that are placed on us because we belong to a family. We belong to the family of God. We have God as a father. He has things he wants us to understand about responsibilities. And he has expectation that you would grow up, accept the challenge. Not just children, but you notice the phrase that's used there, as beloved children. Children are to be loved. It's a tragedy when parents do not love their kids. It's a sinful, evil tragedy when parents say the wrong things to their kids. You blank, blank child, you'll never amount to anything. You're useless. Etc., etc. I don't want to get more explicit. But kids who run around then trying to grow up and mature with scars. My daddy said this, maybe it's true. My mommy was like, No, beloved children, God loves you so much. He loves all his children. And what a difference it is for us in my many years to be able to be a child sometimes and come to my Heavenly Father and know that I am loved. Loved by him. How much of that love is to flow through us then? Because if I'm a child of God because I've been born again, and you're a child of God because you truly have been born again, hold it. We have the same Father. That makes us siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ, with each and every one who was truly born again. And I hate to use that language, but you know why I do it. Because there are so many who think they're born again because of whatever. I was baptized. I must be born again. Ain't necessarily so if there's no life, if there's no change, if there's no growing. But if there is, don't compare yourself with others. Well, I've been a Christian for 7 years, and this one's been a Christian for 15 years, and I'm much more mature than... Don't go there. Don't go there. You are who you are, and the goal is to become like Jesus Christ. Nothing less. So we keep moving because we love him. And the challenge is there on the basis of what he has told us, what he has done, and that he loves us and we are his beloved children. But that love is also then to be shared with one another as siblings. And that's one reason for the church that God knows we need. We need it to have teaching. We need it to have accountability. And many of us don't want to be held accountable. I don't want to be held accountable by my wife. Kids don't want to be accountable by their parents or to them or to anyone else. Don't you watch me. Don't you tell me. I know. God says we're to be accountable to one another. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. Because we are beloved children of the same Father. If we are born again, accept a challenge. And the challenge, be an imitator. Therefore, on the basis of where we've been, verse 1, it's very simple. Be imitators of God as beloved children. The word imitate, it's to mime. It's to mimic. It's to act out accurately. It's to be a copy of. It's to watch in such a way. It is natural for children to mimic. I almost brought a picture with me today of John David, a little guy. I am back at 19. Oh, he was born in 74. I'm in 79, so he's 5 years old. And he's there trying to get into my... I've got small feet and small shoes, 9 and a half probably shoes for a guy my size. That's not right. You know, my feet are like this. Okay, they're not out, so they come together and they're short. But... when he was 5 years old, my shoes were big. But there he is. I've got him up in New Hampshire. I've got him there trying to walk around in my shoes. It's only natural to do that. We follow. Warren Wiersbe says children probably learn more by mimicking than any other way. By mimicking. By being just like us. I don't know how many of you know Joe Stoll. He used to pastor a church. I believe he was the head of Moody Bible Institute for a while. He was pretty free. I'm afraid I'm somewhat the same way. He says, I'll never forget the time I was asked to bring my family to a banquet where I was to be the main speaker. After dinner, my son Matt, a little guy, said, Daddy, can I sit on your lap? And sure enough, sat on my lap. Over the course of his life, he had seen Daddy, and he mimicked Daddy. Daddy says, I would go into a restaurant, and the first thing I would do with the waitress is look at her name tag. And then I would say, hi, Betty, how are you today? And my kids would say, Dad, you're embarrassing us. Dad, I don't know if you dads, I've heard that a few times. I remember my dad, who struggled with his English and other things, I'd be embarrassed. And that was my inferiority that was embarrassed. I wasn't comfortable in my own skin back then. And still today, to some degree, I'm not always. But Dad, you're embarrassing us. Well, here I am at this banquet. And this big shot who headed the banquet, quote unquote, came over. And my little boy sitting on my lap said, "Hi, John," and put out his hand. And he said, "He was just like me, a chip off the old block." Yeah, they mimic, they follow. Daddy smokes, they want to smoke. I was Friday afternoon over in Red Lion, down from York, Pennsylvania. A missionary I've known for about 7 years and his wife, Doug and Lisa. They're home on furlough from Romania, and I met with them, and we talked and shared. And he shared with me about his dad. He said, "His dad taught me to drink when I was 8 years old." There I was, 8 years old. And he became a Christian because he was picked up by bus ministry, a bus that went around that still continues in Red Lion. It's a nice little town I saw as I drove through and saw the church over there, the Bible church there that he grew up in. But they send out a bus and they pick up these kids because his parents were not Christians. And he got saved. And so he got saved young. And then they said, "I fell away and rebelled. And I went back to heavy drinking. Heavy drinking with a friend and so forth and whatnot." No, again, what you can learn by example, by following. I've heard daddies with their little first graders chuckle when they hear the cuss words, the filthy sex words coming out of their first graders' mouths because they've listened to daddy and they pick up and they mimic. Again, we are to mimic, imitators of Father God. Of Father God. What would he sound like? What would he act like? What would he do? That's what we're to be examining and working on. We are told to imitate our Heavenly Father. How much so? Matthew 5:48. "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." 1 Peter 1:16. "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Wow. Imitate God. Here this morning, imitate God in his love. It has been well said, the strongest motive for right conduct is love. The strongest motive for right conduct is love. I'm loved by God. I want to imitate God. I don't know how many of you know of Sing Sing Prison. Sing Sing is located 30 miles north of New York City, or that is Manhattan. It's on the east side of the Hudson River, a small town called Ossining, New York. Right now, it has 1,700 inmates, as best I can tell, and 900 employees. Sing Sing Prison. It has held some of the biggest racketeers, murderers, etc. in years gone by, and I assume even today they're in New York City. Again, Sing Sing Prison. Back in 1920, Lewis Laws was the warden of the prison. Lewis Laws, you look him up, L-A-W-E-S, you look him up, he was warden from 1920 to 1941. You look him up, and he was an early believer in prisoners' rights and to make the system the way it should be in the prison. To make it the way it should be. Not to pamper them, but to show respect and dignity, etc., etc., etc. with them. In 1937, his wife was killed in a car accident. 1937. Her body in a casket was, I want to say, maybe a mile down the road from Sing Sing Prison in their home. He saw all the prisoners just standing there looking down the road. He realized what was happening. Mrs. Laws, with I believe three of her kids, would often go and visit the prisoners at the prison when they'd have a softball game or basketball. She'd be there with the kids, with these vicious criminals and so forth, and shared a mother's love for many of them. The warden said this, "I realize you would like to go and pay respects to the casket. I'm going to let you out of the prison and go down to visit the house. No names will be taken of who's going. No record will be kept of who's not." They left the prison. The doors were open for him. They went down to the prison or to the house, paid their respects to the casket, and every last one of them came back. Every last one of them. She had shown them a love that they weren't used to. Love. Hold it. What did I just say again? She had showed them a love they weren't used to. What has God shown you? Again, if you're truly a Christian, you begin to understand what sin is, what you deserve, and how God treats us so differently. Oh, love of God. I have a magazine on the floor back in my kitchen. It was a Christianity Today supplement. I forgot his name. Keller. First name, Tim. Tim Keller. And what has happened in Manhattan through Redeemer Church that became a mega church that he broke up before he died? Was it back in March? I can't remember exactly when he died. But reading through there, testimonies of various ones of how Manhattan apparently has well over 300 evangelical churches now, where just a few years ago, 30, 40 years ago, it was maybe 17 evangelical churches in Manhattan. And what they said about Tim Keller's preaching, whatever you might find fault with, he shared the reality of the love of God in basically every sermon. That God loves you. He didn't dilute the gospel, quote unquote, what I was reading. He gave a strong gospel. But even those who opposed him knew that he loved his God, but that he loved New York City and the people there. And they started all sorts of ministries reaching out to the people there. But it was the love of God. Accept the challenge on the basis of where we've been in Ephesians. On the basis of being beloved children. The challenge, be imitators. Be imitators of Father and His love. Second, then be a lover. Again, you look at the text and what it says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Back in chapter 4, verse 1, walk in a manner worthy. Chapter 4, verse 17, walk no longer as the Gentiles or the non-believers. You got to change your life. Change your thought patterns, your language, your actions. Change your life. And now walk in love. Walk in love. The love is the love of God. It's not Hollywood love. It's not just based on emotions or feelings. I love you. Love is a strong word. Love is a word that comes from the will. Love is a word that says, I want the best good for you. Whether you recognize it or not, I'm doing this because I want what's best for you, and I'm willing to talk tough to you because you need to hear what God has to say. Love. Love. Even when you don't like what I'm saying. Even when you don't deserve to be loved because of the way you're acting or treating me or whatever. Even when you spurn, reject. Oh, may my love increase. I can remember the two teenage girls somewhat as they spit at me. And they didn't want to hear about Jesus loving them. No, I don't always do it right by far. I mess up. You've heard me. Why did I say that? That was dumb. Why didn't I say this? I should have. But to keep trying to love with the love of Christ. It's an act of your volition. Volition. That's your will. It's not that I feel like I should love you, and so I'm going to love you. But God commands me to love you. Again, on the basis of what He has done for me. On the basis that I'm His child. And I'm supposed to be mimicking Him. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like my God. So we're to walk in love. And not just to walk, but to continue in love. The command there, walk in love, it's a present tense. You guys know enough Greek. Present tense means continue to do it. Keep on doing it. Don't stop. Don't stop. It's not when it's just convenient or when it's not, but don't stop. Keep going. Don't let up. Keep loving. No matter how they respond, keep loving. Keep working at it. Keep trying. Love can become cold. Love can become mechanical. But love is not optional if I'm a child of God's. The sister letter, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I'm turning to Colossians chapter 3. Listen, verses 12 to 14. Again, Paul wrote them from prison about the same time. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I'm not sure. Was it Colossians or Ephesians? Scholars are not sure which came first. One seems to borrow from the other and so forth. Colossians 3, verse 12. Here we go. So, as those who have been chosen of God. All the people in the world to know that God chose you. God chose you if you're a Christian. He chose you. He wanted you. Why you and not someone else? Praise God, there are other else's. But if you're a Christian, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, holy because you're set apart for Him from sin, remember holiness, from sin and for His purposes, holy and beloved, there we go, love again, you're to put on, here we go, put on, take off, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with, put up with the idiosyncrasies, the things that annoy you, whatever, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Aren't you glad that life is so easy for you? You don't have any complaints against anyone. You just float along life. Goes so well for you, doesn't it? Yeah, right. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, and here it is, just as the Lord forgave you. Don't ever forget that. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Put on love. Most of you know we pastored up in New Hampshire at Barrington Evangelical Free Church. At that time, the only free church in the state of New Hampshire. Since then, there are a number of others that have been planted. The church was 20 years old when Diane and I came there. I did not realize when we went there, number one, how few people were there when we started. I also did not realize that I was the third person from Salem Evangelical Free Church in New York City to spend some time pastoring up there. I was the third. Had no idea. The first one who came, I don't know that he wasn't the first pastor that I'm aware of, but in the 20 years before me, two others had been there from Staten Island. But Carl Hovelson, an old Norwegian, I don't believe he was extremely well educated or this or that, but an old godly man who helped them grow as a church. He shared about a pastor who had been preaching to his congregation and strongly challenged them, you need to love one another. He poured his heart out preaching, you need to love others. Love your God, love others. He poured himself out in that. At the end of the service, he was exhausted. But someone came, a messenger came and said, this man is dying. This man is dying. He needs to see you. Would you please go and visit him? Now. The man, I can't. It's too late. It's too late. Not tonight. The messenger went back and shared with the daughter of the man. He's not coming. He said it was too late. The daughter's response was, it's not that he's not coming because it's too late. He's not coming because he's too selfish. Wow. How accurate for someone who has just poured out the love of God. The love of God. Mimic that love. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't say, hey, it's too late for you. I realize you're dying now, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to save you. Praise God for deathbed conversions, of which sadly there are probably too many. The thief on the cross. He never got to church. He never got baptized. He never was able to serve much. I guess he did witness from the thief. And especially, or from, the thief witnessed from the cross, as Jesus shared with him, today you'll be with me in paradise. But too selfish. How selfish aren't we? How selfish aren't we? I'm too tired. I've got this. I've got that. And I'm not stomping all over legitimate things that happen in our lives. But we better examine and realize again how we affect one another and those we want to share the gospel with. Oh God, to think that you can use these clay vessels, these weak, sinful individuals like a me, and a use as well. No, to recognize, continue in love, in love, in love. And the other side, we've touched on it, love enough to confront. Again, we spend time on that, speak the truth in love. It is not loving to condone. It is not loving to allow someone to go along and celebrate their sinfulness. It is not loving to pretend everything is okay. We need to learn to say the hard words with tender hearts. Not picking on people as such, but because we care enough to share. Here's what God has to say. Here's why I can't go along with what you're saying. I can't be happy in what you're celebrating. I can't say it's okay. We need to be lovers and speak the truth in love as well. Thirdly, consider the example of Jesus. Jesus has commanded us to love. I turn to John's Gospel, John 15. Jesus talking to the disciples before he goes to the cross. He knew what was in front of him, but he was concerned for those he'd be leaving behind. You don't see him, oh, poor me, I'm going to have to go to the cross to die for you so you can go to heaven and not hell. It's all about them, not him. But among the words that he shared with the disciples there, John 15, I'm going to read verse 9 and verse 12. John 15, verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Abide, live in my love, rest in my love, know that you're loved. And then, verse 12, this is my commandment. Remember, it's not optional that you love one another just as I have loved you. Any love that you've seen from me is the love that I give to you to share with others. Love them. Do what's best for them. Share the hard words with them from a tender heart as one sinner speaking to another sinner as God would have you do it. Make it clear. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 46. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, he was known for that, wasn't he? You've heard this, your rabbis have taught you that and this, but I say, he spoke with authority. But I say to you, love your enemies. And again, who can emotionally feel love for someone who has spit at them, cursed them, betrayed them, whatever? That's not natural. And that's why God's love is not natural. It's a supernatural love. It can only come as the Holy Spirit works through us and as we allow that to happen. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may prove yourselves to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. You might show that you're mimicking Daddy. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even, and he uses the term, the tax collectors, one of the most despicable ones that they knew, even they, do they not do the same? Again, that's so natural. I invite you to my house because I want to be invited to your house. I give you a present because I want a present from you. I'm kind to you because you're kind to me, and I want you to stay kind to me, etc. No, it's good to reach out and to be kind, etc., etc. But we do because we love. It's a command from God. And I will share again and again and again until I die. The greater I see God's love for me, the more I must recognize what I owe to you. And I need to be there for you, the body, the family of God, because of love. Yes, he commanded, love one another. But second, he demonstrated that love with a self-giving love. Yeah. Look again. Therefore, Ephesians 5 verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as, there's the example, as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He loved you and gave himself for you, sacrificing love. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. We know love by this, not by Hollywood, not by how others treat you. We know love by this, how? That he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against them, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word, flattery, or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Indeed and truth. Teach us. Oh, that's right, you showed us how to love. That's how we're to love. The language there at the end of that verse, Ephesians 5, verse 2, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Fragrant aroma. That's language from, you know, the book that you're all using right now, I think, right? In your devotions, aren't you reading Leviticus? Chapter 1, Leviticus. This language comes right out of Leviticus. Chapter 1, I'm going to read three verses. Verse 9, 13, and 17. What do we have here? You've got the burnt offering is the heading for this chapter I wrote in my Bible. But at verse 9, that animal that I've just butchered, its entrails, its innards, and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer him smoke, all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Soothing aroma to the Lord. Verse 13. The entrails, we got the innards again, however, and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it, and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. We just read that. Verse 17. What do I read here? Then he shall tear it by its wings. We've got a little birdie here now. But shall not sever it, don't cut it in two, don't rip it in half. And the priest shall offer up in smoke on the altar, on the wood which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering. You couldn't afford a larger animal. You got a little bird. That's all you can afford. That's good. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Three times. That's the language that Paul uses here. Paul knew his Old Testament. He knew the Mosaic law. He knew the sacrifices. Honer in his commentary reminds us 49 times in the Old Testament, you've got the phrase, a soothing aroma. A soothing aroma. Paul was borrowing a phrase referring to a sacrifice that was accepted and enjoyed by God. It pleased God. It pleased God. The book of Leviticus, those sacrifices in Leviticus, they're pictures of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Let me give you a few examples. The burnt offering we just referred to in chapter 1, it had to be a male without blemish and fully consumed. Jesus Christ, a male. He wasn't an it, he wasn't a she. He had no problems knowing he was man, a male. Without blemish, the only human being without blemish, without sin, Jesus Christ was and is without sin. And he was fully consumed as he died on the cross. A burnt offering for us. Jesus, our meal offering. We'll talk about that tonight from Hebrews, about meal offerings or grain offerings or Cain and Abel's offerings. But as our meal offering, again, a perfect, sinless man. No leaven in the meal offering. Jesus Christ, perfect. It pictures him. The peace offering that's offered there in Leviticus. Again, Jesus Christ on the cross, his offering was a peace offering. He was our propitiation. He satisfied the justice, the rightful justice of a holy God. Oh, to see in Sunday school here this morning. This guy down here, remember what he said? If I remember, I can't quote him correctly. But he said, we say in one sentence, Jesus died for me. The Puritans could take 500 pages to see the different facets of it. I am not a deep guy. Most of you know that by now. I'm pretty simple and straightforward for me. But to see more and more the reality and the beauty of what Jesus has done, his sacrifice, his demonstration of love in what he has done to accomplish my salvation. Jesus on the cross, we need to see it was demonstrated. And yes, it pleased the Father. Fragrant aroma is found 40 times in the Pentateuch, the first five books. No wonder if the Father said, remember what he said about Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Soothing aroma equals well pleased. It satisfies me. It satisfies me. Yes, the sacrifices brought pleasure. You've heard me often Sunday morning. I don't think I did it today. But I've often prayed here before the service, may we bring a smile to your face. May we bring joy to you because we come to worship you in spirit and truth. We'll talk about that tonight. But we want to bring joy to you. It's not about me. I didn't like that choir song. I did today, and I usually do. There are a few I don't, but that's another story. But it's not about me. The pastor really messed up today. I'm sure I do too often. I certainly don't try to do it on purpose. I hope you know that. But it's not about me. It's about, God, we're here to worship you and to hear from you and to allow your spirit to take the word and check me out and convict me where need be and comfort me and encourage me where need be, as only you are able to do. That's why we've come into your house and gathered in your name to worship. And so it pleased the Father. I believe it was mentioned this morning also about Noah, or here it was maybe, John did, when Noah came out of the ark, there with his family, the rest of the world gone, drowned. Noah comes out of the ark after the time in the ark. And what is the first thing he does? Is he done did a sacrifice. And once again, what do we hear about that sacrifice? It pleased God. It was a soothing aroma, a sweet smell, a sweet smell. How often do you think about that in your life? Lord, am I a sweet aroma to you? Am I pleasing you in what I'm thinking now, in what I'm doing, what I'm planning to do, what I did? Did that please you? Lord, that is my desire. Again, that's the language that's here. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us and offering the sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, a sweet smelling aroma to our God. So, ABC. Accept the challenge to imitate the Father. Be a lover like Jesus. Love God, love one another, and consider Jesus, and thus be a soothing, fragrant, pleasant smell to God as you offer up your sacrifices, which is your reasonable service to him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you. An understatement, but thank you for your word. Two simple verses until we have to live them out and mimic you in your response. Because you know us better than we know ourselves, and you know what people out here are going through that I do not know. Some of it I do, but so much I don't. But you deal with us as individuals. Thank you for that personal one-on-one with you. Sometimes we may resent it. You're getting too close. It hits home too much. But Lord, that's because you love us, and that is love when you hit home. Drive us to repentance where needed, Father. Drive us to tears where needed. Drive us to a desire, a hunger. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live for you. I want others to know what you've done for me. Lord God, thank you for the reminders this morning,
from Ephesians chapter 5. Help us now to take it by the ministry of your Holy Spirit and to apply it within. If we have questions, Father, may we come to you. May they come to a me or others, Father, who could help and would love to talk to them about it. But Lord, thank you again for the gospel, your love letter to us, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kindly take your songbooks.